In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, and for the next several weeks, as we move through chapter 6 of St. John's Gospel, we'll focus on the mystery of faith, which is, of course, the mystery of the Holy Eucharist, especially to the celebration of Holy Mass and the reception of Holy Communion. At its essence, the Mass is a sacrifice, and not simply a sacrifice, but the sacrifice that Christ offered once for all on the hill of Calvary. The Catechism, quoting paragraph 47 of the Second Vatican Council's Constitution on the Sacred Liturgy, states, "At the Last Supper, on the night he was betrayed, our Savior instituted the Eucharistic sacrifice of his body and blood. This he did in order to perpetuate the sacrifice of the cross throughout the ages until he should come again, and so to entrust his beloved spouse, the Church, a memorial of his death and resurrection." That word memorial at the end of the quotation can be taken in a manner similar to how we define the word sacrament, that is, an outward sign instituted by Christ to give inward grace. Sacraments are not signs in the way we normally understand them. Rather, they are signs that actually bring about what they signify. So, for instance, in baptism, the sign of washing with water, together with that sacramental form, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit," actually brings about what it signifies, namely the cleansing of all stain of sin. Something similar is at play when we speak of the Holy Mass as a memorial. I've spoken before about the Jewish concept of anamnesis, which literally means memory or remembrance. When it comes to the sacraments, the Church's calling to mind the death of Christ brings that event, in a way, into the present. But this aspect of memorial is not what makes the Mass a sacrifice. What makes the Mass a sacrifice is the same thing that allows the washing with water of a baby to be cleansed of original sin. It is a sacrament, indeed, the sacrament par excellence. The Mass brings about what it signifies. This is why the bread and wine are consecrated separately in the Mass, to signify the separation of the sacred body and precious blood of our Lord that took place on the cross. Many Catholics, many people, have a difficult time understanding the Mass as a sacrifice. This is in part because it simply doesn't look like what we imagine a sacrifice to look like. Most would envision a rather grisly and brutal scene to surround a sacrifice. But for most of the Church's history, Catholics had little difficulty understanding this because it was taught clearly and consistently by Christian parents and from the pulpit. In recent decades, many Catholics sadly understand the Mass as little more than a reenactment of the Last Supper. But in the Mass, we are witnessing Calvary, not simply the upper room. Jesus offers himself in sacrifice through the ministry of the priest and in an unbloody manner. In the Mass, we have the same priest offering sacrifice and the same victim being sacrificed. Our Lord is both priest and victim. Father Edward Maristany answers the seeming discrepancy between substance and appearance in his little book, Loving the Holy Mass. He says, "The Mass is not a representation of the Last Supper, and neither is it in every way identical to the sacrifice of the cross. The Mass is, in its essence, the sacrifice of the cross, brought about in the manner of the Last Supper." It should be clear that in the Holy Mass, we do not say that our Lord is sacrificed again. God forbid that any of us should claim Christ's one sacrifice on the cross to be insufficient. There is and can only be one sacrifice of Christ. Indeed, the Last Supper itself, when our Lord instituted the Holy Eucharist, was the sacrifice of Calvary by anticipation. Let's hear from Father Maristany again, where he says that in the Last Supper, quote, "Jesus proceeded to anticipate sacramentally his sacrificial death and then march toward Calvary. He was in effect saying, let's roll, let me complete my mission, bring me to the cross." Until that time, God's covenant with his people had been represented by the Passover lambs being sacrificed on the altar of the temple. Now the lamb to be offered up is Christ himself on the altar of the cross. In the Mass, the cross is represented not represented, made present for us again, in every time and place, until the Lord comes again. Now, why is this necessary? Well, strictly speaking, as far as God is concerned, it's not. And neither was the incarnation itself. In his great mercy, God chose to save us by becoming one of us. And he chooses to pour out his grace and favor upon us by allowing us, so far removed in space and time from first century Palestine, to participate in a most intimate way in the supreme act of worship, the offering of God the Son to God the Father in sacrifice. While the offering of the sacrifice of the Mass was and is not necessary for God, it is necessary for us. Recall what I said about the concept of anamnesis, memory, remembrance. In the Old Testament, this word was used to designate what was the essence of the Feast of Passover, that it was a remembrance or the memorial of the flight from Egypt, and of the covenant that God had made with his people. Through the ritual of the Passover, the people of Israel did not simply recall an event that was already past, but they were conscious of making that event present once more and reliving it. At every Passover meal, the covenant that God had made with them on Mount Sinai was made present once again. When the Lord Jesus says to his disciples, "Do this in remembrance of me," it's not simply a matter of remembering the Passover meal of the Last Supper, but of enacting the sacrifice of Calvary itself, which was already anticipated at the Last Supper. This was and remains a command of God the Son that his one sacrifice be made present through his apostles and their successors in every time and place. Who are we to refuse such a command? Who are we to refuse such an invitation to unite ourselves to Jesus' worship of the Father and our Father? Apart from the vast numbers of Catholics who sadly did not attend Holy Mass regularly in the past, still, that remains the case. I would encourage you to invite them to come home, invite them to participate in this one sacrifice of Jesus Christ, which is offered for them as it is for you and me. We cannot love what we do not know or understand. And while that's true, we should also keep in mind the maxim of the great St. Augustine, "Credo ut intelligam," I believe so that I may understand. Ultimately, no amount of intellectual understanding can take the place of faith in the Holy Eucharist, which the Church reminds us at every Holy Mass is the mystery of faith. The greatest of human minds have plumbed the depths of this mystery for centuries, and still, from a divine perspective, they haven't even scratched the surface. I hope that the next few weeks of sermons on the Holy Eucharist is of some help to you and others in having a better understanding of this beautiful sacrament. When all is said and done, we must simply trust in the words of the Lord himself, and the words he speaks in every age through his bride, the Church. When we find ourselves in doubt, we must turn to the Lord and say with St. Peter, "To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,